Thanks, Julie. Great to see you. If you're at home here tonight, lovely to have you with us. And hopefully, those who've come in have got our little Verse of the Year card. We're very grateful to Ian Barnard and Emma Linley, who've done a collaboration to produce our Verse of the Year this year, and it's just fantastic. So do take it away tonight, and hopefully you'll be able to dish them out as the weeks go by over the coming months. Well, let me pray. I'm very excited about this series on weakness, and let's pray that the Lord will speak into our hearts his truth. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you that we can meet tonight and we can hear your truth. Lord, we need your truth in our lives. We pray that by your Spirit you'd help me and help us to hear your word. We might build our lives on you and your grace, for it is enough. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our verse for the year is a huge favourite for many Christians around the world and throughout history. It's a verse that we love to stick on the fridge, isn't it? Or on a calendar or on posters. It's famous because it's such glorious, comforting, wonderful truth. And it's full of blessing. And it comes as a direct message from the risen Lord Jesus to the Apostle Paul. And it comes out of his experience of weakness and suffering and struggle. It's his testimony to the church then and now of the undeserved, lavish love and grace that sustained him, that kept him in weakness. And we're going to think about it briefly tonight in two ways. Firstly, the story of Paul and the church he writes to. And then secondly, our story. And we'll apply it to our story, our experience as Christians, if that is what we call ourselves tonight. And this verse comes out of the Apostle Paul's experience of weakness and what he's learned about the value of recognizing that he is weak. So did you hear what Paul says in verse 10? He says, I delight in my weaknesses. I delight in weaknesses. What a strange thing to say. Who of us delights in weakness? Our culture, our world, our churches delight in strength, in success. We want to be strong and able and competent and respected. I mean, who wants to be weak or insulted or face persecution or hardship? Who really delights in weakness? Weakness is failure, isn't it? Only the strong survive. And Paul is saying something so countercultural to them then and us now. He says in verse 10, I delight in weaknesses. That is what Paul has learnt. And Paul is letting us in on a very important truth that he has learnt that we can build our lives upon, which arose out of God giving him suffering, which made him feel very weak, and it still afflicted him in this passage. Do you see in verse 7, he talks about this thorn in his flesh that was given by God through a messenger of Satan. So just like God allowed Job to be afflicted by Satan, so the Lord has allowed Paul to suffer. It's there in verse 7. I was given a thorn in the flesh, given by God a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now we don't know what that suffering was, but it hurt. And Paul did the right thing. In his hurt and his pain, he turned to the Lord in prayer and he cried out to the Lord to take that suffering away. Verse 8, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord didn't take it away. It's not that the Lord can't and doesn't heal. Of course he can. Of course he does. But actually for Paul, he didn't take it away. This was not a moment of subtraction, but addition. This was a grace denied of healing, but actually grace was supplied in that suffering to cope. Jesus did not give healing or give relief, but he did add in abundance his love and his power and his grace to sustain Paul in his weakness. Now, these remarkable verses come in a section where Paul is defending his ministry as an apostle in Corinth. You see, super shiny, super apostles, as they were called, had come into that church and were teaching a different Jesus. and were much more impressive than Paul. But Paul wants this church not to move away from the true gospel. You see, the super apostles boasted in their strength, their experience, their capability. But Paul, he wants to boast in weakness and to lift Jesus high, to exalt his grace, to exalt his strength. And so he's quite honest. He shares his testimony with us. He's had real highs and real lows as an apostle, as a follower of Christ. There have been some terrible times. He's very honest. So look back at chapter 11, verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've gone without food. I've been cold. I've been naked. The list goes on and on and on. Real suffering, real thorns, real sorrows. He's also had some amazing highs, spiritual highs. Extraordinary experiences and moments are with the Lord. Visions and revelations. Let's start at verse 12. It sounds like he's writing about somebody else, but he's talking about his experience. You see that as you keep reading through. He says, chapter 12, verse 2, I know a man, it's him actually, in Christ, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Verse 4, I was caught up to paradise. I heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Now, Paul is talking about this extraordinary experience he's had. And that is the context for the Lord bringing thorns into his life. What Paul is doing, he's sharing his highs and his lows. But this whole experience, the beginning of chapter 12, was why the Lord gave him this particular thorn he's talking about. Verse 7, do you see that? Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. This thorn was given to Paul to keep him humble, to keep him depending on the Lord. And he prays for it to be taken away, but Jesus does not subtract it. He doesn't take it away. Now, Paul's testimony is this: glorious addition, amazing addition to sustain Paul. Now, sometimes we know, don't we, that the Lord does take away our thorns. But actually, Paul's testimony is to them then and us now that in our thorns, in our weakness, he is the God who gives more grace. He gives himself to sustain us through and in the thorns of life that makes us feel so weak, that he may be glorified and that we might be kept. You see, acknowledging our weakness and our need of Jesus' life and love and power to fill us for all he calls us to be is a wonderful thing to do. It is a wonderful strength to say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong and I need you. It makes us realize how wonderful Jesus is, isn't it? How sweet it is to be loved and known by Jesus and kept by him. That is why Paul is able to say at the end of verse 9, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because God makes me strong. Jesus makes me strong. Doesn't mean that he enjoys thorns or finds them easy. They are not. We all know they're not, don't we? They are not easy. But they can be God-given. And a God-given opportunity to prove Jesus that he is able to sustain and keep his people, that his love and his power is enough, that Jesus is enough. That's Paul's testimony. What about us? What's our testimony? What is our story right now? Do we recognize that the very gospel we have come to believe in is a gospel of good news for weak people? And that's all of us, if we'll just recognize it. As Paul says at the start of the first letter to the Corinthians, to this super gift, a super able, super competent church who thought it was all about being strong, he says to them, actually, he came to them in great weakness, chapter 2, verse 1. Not with eloquence or human wisdom. He preached the message of the gospel, which is a message of Christ and him crucified in weakness, a stumbling block to Jews and a foolishness to Gentiles, but to God's people, the wisdom and the power of God. That many of them, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, that many of them themselves, when they were called to faith, were not wise or strong. No, God chose the lowly things. The things of this world that are despised, the things that are despised to shame the strong. He chose the weak. And the point is this. It's when we realize that we are weak, sinful people, that we recognize by God's grace that we need the salvation of Jesus and his gospel in all its seeming weakness, a crucified Jesus, but a crucified Savior. It is the power of God for the salvation for all who will believe. Do you see you're weak? Do you recognize that weakness is where it all begins? You need to be humbled, needy. And all the thorns of life are there to teach us to rely not on ourselves, but on the strength and the grace of Jesus, who is all sufficient. As we face a new year, COVID once again makes us realize how frail we are and needy. We are weak. Well, will we prove that Jesus is enough? Some of the church family have lost loved ones to COVID. Some of the church family have COVID right now. We are facing thorns physically, emotionally, mentally. Will we see as we face these weaknesses that Jesus is enough? As we face our own weaknesses and sorrows, grief, temptation, unfaithfulness, loss, disability, depression, anxiety, unemployment, pressure, mockery, childlessness, cancer, dementia, weakness, insults, hardships, hunger, persecutions, as we face our own weakness and sorrows, and as we live caring for those who face all sorts of needs and weakness, will we learn from the testimony of Paul? Will we learn from the powerful word of God? God may not deliver us from our sufferings. He might not give us the grace of deliverance. But actually, he will supply the grace we need to keep us in those times. Will we lean hard on Jesus and his grace, his sustaining power and love that Jesus is glad to pour into our lives to keep us? Will Jesus be enough until that day when the God of all comfort wipes the tears from our eyes and says, enough, no more, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, all gone, no more tears? What a day that will be, my friends. In this room and in the rooms of lives people are watching here tonight will be testimony after testimony of people who can say, because of Jesus and his sufficient grace, he's kept me. His power has filled me and shone through. I felt just so weak, but he has kept me by his grace and love in very great weakness. His grace is enough. And I can testify to that today. There are times in my life and still now when I carry deep sorrow for those I love who suffer and whose suffering will only be removed by death. But I see God's remarkable sustaining grace and I can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Maybe listen tonight, you're not yet a Christian and you don't know any of the reality of Jesus' friendship and help. Maybe you've got friends and you see them coping far better than you through suffering. And you see it's true in their lives and you want that for yourself. Well, Jesus, my friends, wants to welcome you and to draw you to himself and to pour his grace and love and forgiveness and life into you. Why not commit yourself this year to finding more about Jesus? Why not join us on Tuesday night for Life Explore? Details online to find out how you can know the reality of Jesus and his grace, his power in your life to keep you through this difficult time, through the thorns of life and into eternity. Well, friends, we would love you all, the whole church family, to have one of these little cards. Why not, if you're watching now, get a post-it note, write it down, stick it on your fridge, stick it in your Bible, stick it on your phone and read it and feed on it and delight in it and say, Lord Jesus, I want to live like that this year. I want to know your grace is enough. Let's hear Paul's testimony of the words of Jesus again. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you lavish grace upon us as our burdens grow greater. You send us more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, you offer more mercy. To multiply trials, you multiply peace. So, Lord, help us to lean hard. To lean hard on the everlasting arms of Jesus, whose grace is enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.